When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Thank you for joining another edition of Bumps and Thumps, the talk of wrestling. I'm Brian Ferguson. Today, my guest has been in pro wrestling business since she was born. She has worked with many of pro wrestling great talents of the past and present and is known as the Perfect 10. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you Miss Nicola Roberts, a.k.a. otherwise known as Baby Doll.
Hey, y'all.
Nicola, thanks for coming out today. We really appreciate it on your busy schedule.
You're welcome. Yeah, I just came in from, I went to my father-in-law's and we've been picking tomatoes, cucumbers, and jalapenos and have to go back this evening to do green beans.
Well, you sound like my wife because her and her mother are doing the same thing in the morning and sometimes in the evening, and then they've been canning too, so understand that.
Definitely. Oh yeah, we already canned 54 pints and probably 37 quarts of green beans already.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
You're just getting started too.
Yeah, eating well though, that's the way to do it.
I love it because I can give it to my kids and friends, and it's really good.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about you growing up. I know you're from a wrestling family. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of elaborate on your growing up in Texas there with your mom and dad?
It's a good thing my mom and dad were professional wrestlers, because as much as I love professional wrestling, it would have been really bad if I didn't. My mom wrestled. Her name is Lorraine Johnson. She wrestled all over. She was in Australia, Mexico, all through the United States and Canada. I think her biggest fame would have been working with tag team with Penny Banner. Okay. And then my dad's Nick Roberts. He mostly wrestled as Nick Roberts. He did a couple of hood gimmicks. And then in 1962, he and my mom started promoting in Lubbock, Texas. And we promoted for well over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Had matches every Wednesday for close to 20 years. And then we switched over to Fridays when we went to the Dallas office. It was magical. I mean, my playpen was actually in the back room where they talked over the finishes.
Oh, wow.
grew up with my dad on TV announcing the matches for Wednesday night and having the show every Saturday. As soon as I could carry four folding steel chairs, I became part of the ring crew. As soon as I could make change and look over the concession and pull a soda, I became part of the concession crew.
Okay.
Then I was like, I sold programs, and I did this until I was like in my 20s. And then was going to school, was going to be an EMT, and then I wanted to be a paramedic. And I had 2 weeks to go into the class, and I overheard my parents talking that they were looking for a girl for Gino, and I thought that was a perfect job for me. So I made a couple of phone calls, and I quit school and headed to Dallas.
Yeah. Now, Gino, I remember him. I loved him as a heel. He was so believable. So, I don't know, I guess charismatic, his body language, the way he come out. What was it like working with him?
Pretty much whatever you saw on TV, that was Gino, just 100%.
And oh, wow. Okay.
It was really cool whenever the Dark Side of the Ring came out.
Yeah.
Because I learned so much. I mean, I'd known Gino since I was like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew most everything. I mean, I even worked with him for a couple of months, but I had no idea he was married. I had no idea that he had kids. And the crazy thing is if I'd known that he was married and had kids, I probably would have never made that phone call. I would have just stayed in Lubbock and, I'm good. So it's kind of a good thing I was, that kayfabe was alive. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched a couple of YouTube videos with you and him coming out. And your get up there was pretty, at that time, pretty unique. I'll put it like that. What did your parents think when you did that?
Just shook their head. Like they put all this effort into like with college and career and, you know, just being in wrestling was like not in their scale of reality at all. It was like, I was crazy, and I don't think they really took me very seriously after that. Yeah. It just didn't work out.
I got to tell you, for those of those that are watching and they can see, you haven't changed very much in appearance. You look pretty much the same, which, you know, is amazing because, you know, that was 30 years ago.
I'm almost 60. So yeah, that was like 35 years ago.
And, you know, you look great. And, you know, I guess all that canning and eating that good stuff is helping you a lot. Cause
I try not to get in trouble. I raised my two daughters by myself and worked some really crazy jobs and really hard jobs. And I've, I'm just happy and just a really good place in my life, and everything's good. Everything's just really, really good. I have an awesome husband.
Yeah.
My daughters are close. I've got a small farm. I've got like 50 chickens and a turkey.
Oh, wow.
And have a little garden. So yeah, everything's good. Everything's really, really good.
Sounds like you stay very active.
Have to. And I've got a 6-year-old.
Oh.
My husband and I are raising his son's Little Rider. So yeah, we have a 6-year-old. We've had him for 3 years now.
Oh, wow. I know that's can be challenging because I have grandkids and I only have them a few days and I'm worn out because all my kids are grown.
Well, my kids are grown too. I mean, mine are in their late 20s.
Yeah.
But I had two girls. And so to have a little boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can. Yeah,
they're crazy. He goes out on the porch and goes, I want to rock. Anytime that I want to. And goes, runs out and gets on his bike and pedals on down the road. So he's a great kid. Just super, super.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's a great story. I mean, I love grandkids. I love kids, and but they wear me out. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and you know, I ain't got the energy like I used to. So I applaud you, and I think that's great that you're doing that. So
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So when after you did your stint with Gino, did you go with Tully then, or how did that kind of transition? Or what did you do in between that?
Well, it was really cool how everything worked out, because it just seemed like all the pieces fell into place from the time that I made the phone call to David Manning and let him know that I wanted to work in Dallas to the 4 or 5 months that I worked with Dallas. All the shows were really good. Mm-hmm. You know, Reunion Arena, the Cotton Bowl. It was really, oh my gosh, it was so cool, especially just getting into the business like that and not really knowing anything. Mm-hmm. And then I had 2 dates left. I had Christmas Day and the day after in Florida, in Miami and Tampa. And so, and that was it. They didn't have any use for Stella and I after that. We were done in the Dallas office because Sunshine had come back from rehab. She looked great. Mm-hmm. She was going to be able to take it from there. And we were just temporary anyway. We kind of knew that.
Yeah.
So whenever Florida came up, I actually went to Michael Hayes and asked him if, you know, like, would he be able to use a girl and maybe he'd like to use me? Because I'd known him from whenever he worked for my dad in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, that they were getting ready to, well, they were getting ready to turn, to shut Florida down for the winter.
Okay.
And then start back up in the spring. So it wasn't like, no, I can't use it. It's like, no, I don't have any shows coming up.
Okay.
But he said, Dusty is in the next dressing room. And I remember this for sure, because he says, Dusty's getting ready to blow North Carolina up. He said, he's getting ready to, he says, he just took over the booker there. He said, go talk to him. He'd be the one that you need to talk to. And he says, do you know him? He says, I'll introduce you. And I said, oh, I know him from like with my dad. And shoot, I had known him whenever I was a little kid. I hadn't, you know, so I just go bebopping in there and Tully's standing next to him and Dusty's sitting in the chair and kind of gave him this spiel like I was looking for somewhere to go. And it was kind of cool because you could see them like I could actually see that there was an interest there. Like we can use you.
Yeah.
And then whenever I had my match, I'm walking out to the ring and I see out of the corner of my eye, Dusty is sitting outside the dressing room door for his dressing room. Mm-hmm. And Tully's on the other side and he's standing outside the dressing room door of his dressing room.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm going, if they're still there after my match, I've got the job.
Yeah.
So I have my match with Stella and I'm getting ready to head back and I look and they're both standing there. So I'm like, yes, I've got the job. I've got the job. And I actually did. I had no idea that they were looking for a girl for Tully.
Yeah.
They had been for about 2 months, actually had the contest for Tully's Perfect Pam and the Perfect Woman. And it just happened that I knocked on the door and I was like, here I am. And I had no idea. And it worked out. It was so good. It just, we clicked, Dusty and Tully, their matches clicked.
Yeah.
Adding me to it.
Yeah.
Just added to it because I gave a lot for Dusty to work with.
Yeah.
And then with Tully and Magnum, it just worked. So it was just perfect timing. And I was so fortunate.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, but you kind of answered it. That perfect 10, that contest, I didn't know if that was, you were already predetermined to take over and they were just doing that for promotion. So that's pretty amazing. Cause I just watched that a few days ago. I'm trying to do some research, get a better feel on everything about you. And I was going to ask you that. So you answered that. So there you go, folks. Predetermined. She just had the opportunity and she got it.
Actually, a couple of years ago, we were doing a shoot interview and Tully said that they were actually looking for Sunshine because Sunshine was so over in Dallas that they had the idea that they were going to get her and bring her into the Mid-Atlantic area.
Yeah.
And had no idea that I was working in there or anything. So it was just, everything just clicked. It just,
yeah.
Yay.
Wow. That worked out. I know wrestling fans that are listening to this or watching this, I know they're glad because you had a huge impact on professional wrestling, and especially in those early days, because I mean, women's wrestling, ballets, they weren't really pushed like they maybe they should have been, in my opinion. That's my opinion now.
There really wasn't anything like until Sunshine came along.
Right.
And then with myself and Missy and Elizabeth.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
There was not any girls in the business like us, and especially right. like with me, with as much heat as I had.
Yeah.
Because to this day, I want to say that I don't think any female in the business had as much heat as I did for the year that I worked with Polly.
No.
I had to have time off because Dusty was afraid that they were going to hurt me, that they were actually going to, someone was going to get to me.
Yeah.
It was crazy. When you see the videos where Dusty slaps me.
Yeah.
And the people cheer. And even women with like cigarettes are just going, hit her again, hit her again. You know, you've got some major heat, you know, when women are cheering for another woman to get beat down. And it's just crazy to think that we made them believe. And it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool. It was scary.
Yeah.
It was really cool too.
Yeah. I mean, I believed that. I mean, I was a teenager, but I whereas times I couldn't stand you when you were with Tully. I loved you when you were with Dusty and Magnum and them. So let's talk about that for a minute. When you were with Tully and the Horsemen, how was that for you? I mean, I know they were fast and furious. Was it hard to keep up with them?
I don't know if it was hard to keep up with them. I think that if I tried to do everything that they did, I wouldn't have kept up, but then I would go and hide. I would actually like check in under different names so that they couldn't find me and call me and like, why aren't you in the bar? And it was many times I had to just, there'd like be a table full of drinks and you would just have to step back and just go, I want to be conscious tomorrow sometime. So you would just have to like, I'm going to go use the bathroom and then you just leave.
Yeah.
There were a lot of times I just went to the room and just zonked out because I was driving 90% of the time. And then guys don't have to put on makeup and look great. And girls, you know, we have that standard of like, oh, she looks like she's dead or, you know. But the good thing about being a heel is like you can put on glasses and just go. But like when you were a baby face, it was hard because you have to be the sunny, pretty, all American girl 24/7. And they don't realize that you got to the hotel at 1 o'clock and you're at the airport and it's 6:30 in the morning and you had like an hour sleep.
Yeah.
It was, I think the lack of sleep was the worst part, but it wasn't too bad. I think financially trying to keep up with them because they were Marriotts all the time. And I stayed by myself. A lot of times they could buddy up together. So while they were making really, really good money, I was making good money, but trying to keep up with the guys with the really good money. So, I have a story to tell because not too many women are alive that did what I did.
I mean, honestly, and not speaking bad of women wrestlers or women that were involved in the past, but the group from the 80s really pushed and were good looking. I mean, let's just be honest. The past women, there weren't too many lookers in my opinion, you guys come out young, nice looking, dressed to impress, and could talk and draw a lot of heat or you know, focus on you guys and the group you were involved with. And that before really didn't happen. I mean, from what I have seen and heard is the women before just kind of, if they wrestled, they wrestled, or if they went out with a guy, they just kind of, you know, were around a guy's arm for a second, then they'd walk away. They didn't get involved really in anything. And you guys, you, let me see, Hyatt, Sunshine, Precious, I mean, I can go on, Dark Journey, really changed that for the better. Right. And I really, and for me as a fan, I know I appreciate it. And I know millions of other people do too. So kudos to you guys. And let's talk about your wrestling. I know you wrestled some, besides when you were, did you wrestle outside of when you were with Tully or Dusty or anything like before that? Or
we had kind of the deal with Stella where we kind of just beat each other up.
Okay.
In Dallas. And then I did the deal with Jim Cornette.
Okay.
And then I actually, whenever I had left Crockett and we'd gone to Kansas City and then was in Dallas, I thought, well, since they weren't doing the ballet stuff anymore, I needed to learn how to wrestle.
Yeah.
So the summer of 87, I stayed with Nelson Royal's family and okay. trained with him for a couple of months. It was Rockin' Robin, which is my sister-in-law.
Okay.
She was up there with me and we trained and it was intense. And I just, I wasn't very good at it. So many other things. It's just, you have to physically trick yourself because from the time you're a small child, you teach yourself, don't fall because it hurts. Well, right. with professional wrestling, you have to completely do a 180 and teach yourself how to fall and fall hard and fall flat. And if you have common sense, your body goes, no, don't do that. It's going to hurt. But the crazy part of you, the professional wrestler part of you, the part that wants to go, ta-da, watch me do this, allows you to work through that pain. And you get strong on the inside and you kind of, I don't know what, like your organs on the inside, you have to toughen them up to take that fall. Because when you think if you fall off the top rope, what's that doing to your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, your spleen, your pancreas? That's taking an enormous jolt.
Yeah.
And there's people that say, oh, wrestling's fake. Really?
I can't stand when people say that.
It's just crazy. But just with my body, because I'm like almost 6 foot tall. And at that time I was like 200, 210. So I'm big girl.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have looked right for me to work against the smaller girls. And I'm really competitive and I don't think I would have been able to put people over as well as what I probably would have because I would have been a heel.
Yeah.
I would have had to put people over and I don't think I would have, it would not have worked out well. Ask Cornette, because Cornette, I feel sorry because I really did hit him really bad, but I was so excited and, but it looked good. So.
I sold, right? I was going to say, I heard a podcast with Magnum TA, and he had a lot of good things to say about you, but particularly he said when him and Tully had that I Quit match, and he said, you threw that wooden chair over the top. He said, now that wooden chair was not light. And he said he never seen a woman that could throw a chair like that and get all that heat, but he said he had a lot of good things to say about you, but he said that thing he remembers so well is that Quit match when you threw that wooden chair over the cage, which is what, 15 feet high
at least,
and you be for you to be able to throw that over like that takes a lot of strength.
The first time did not make it over. The first time I tossed it, it hit like the top of the cage and bounced off, and thank goodness I caught it like perfect And in my mind, I was just like, I cannot fuck this up. This is it. I didn't get the chair over. That would have, that's the whole finish for the match, is that they were going to work that chair from then. So yeah. If I didn't get that chair over, so just that part of me was like, got to do this.
Yeah.
And it just, and it sailed, and it just, and it went over perfect. And then yeah. when it hit, the chair broke, which yeah. that wasn't even part of it, where they could tear off the leg and then work that spike. So the yeah. whole series of how Dusty and Tully and Magnum worked that whole, from like, what was it, August to mm-hmm. November,
yeah. just
everything from, whenever I came back, I was in the security outfit, handed him the quarters, and then Magnum came back, and then he was able to handcuff me, and then was able to get to Tully, and the kiss, and Tully beating the crap out of Magnum, and you can hear like the punches, like how solid they were.
Yeah.
The whole buildup to the I Quit match was like the perfect scenario of wrestling at that yeah. time, and it was perfect. It actually, yeah. I don't think that you could pinpoint something and go, that wasn't right, that didn't work, because no. everything gelled and everything was just perfect.
No, I gotta tell you, probably for me as a fan, 84 to 86, early 87, maybe even 88 was probably the hottest time for me. I was a teenager mm-hmm. and I watched WCW Saturday night, every Saturday night, you know, 6:05. I would watch, you know, WWF, and I would watch, we had AWA then up there where I live from Wisconsin. And I would always, WCW Saturday night, I'd never miss it. And I would, yeah, it was, you guys were just wonderful. And
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Did you ever hold any titles? I know you didn't wrestle very long, but did you ever hold any titles, singles title or tag?
I actually, they did a deal in Charlotte, and they had it. It was the Legends title. It's kind of was like the WWE's 24/7 thing
okay.
title, and Barbarian had it at the time. And whenever I came up, I actually had some flowers, and I forget who it was. Was it a fan? A fan brought me flowers, and there was a crowbar in it. And so I was just like, oh, flowers. And it's just like, oh, okay. And I took the crowbar and I hit Barbarian with it, and I pinned Barbarian for the Legends Championship in Charlotte.
There you go.
So I had that belt for like a month, but then the promotion got shut down. They were doing so well, but where they were at, it was like in a warehouse, and it wasn't districted for like events like that, where okay. like all the cars and stuff, it was just like a warehouse yeah. somewhere.
Yeah.
And the fire marshal came and shut them down, and they never recouped and never reopened.
That's too bad.
But I had the Legends. I beat Barbarian for the Legends Championship.
That's right. You can say that. There you go.
Yes, I can.
I didn't know that. See, that's something new I didn't know. So let's talk a little bit. What was your favorite match that you were involved in that you can really say, I know the I Quit, that was a great match. Is there another one maybe that was one of your top favorites?
That whenever Flair won the title from Dusty, and I mm-hmm. put Flair's foot on the rope, that was
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
That was the pinnacle. I don't think it can get much better than that right there.
Oh, I remember that. That was, whew.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, nobody did. That was the beauty of it. Nobody saw it coming. So that was, yeah, I agree. That was a good one. So
yeah. you didn't see Tully slapping me and me turning babyface, and you didn't
no.
for sure didn't see me turn it against Dusty at yeah. that point. You just didn't.
So let's, if we can, wrestling then versus now.
Okay.
To me, my opinion is it's more
commercialized. It's more not believable because 10 minutes after a show, they're on social media talking about whatever, and they're best friends. Yeah. But in the ring, they're arch enemies. And what is your opinion on that versus when you were there in the 80s to now?
Well, up until, was it 90, 91 maybe? Mm-hmm. And people knew wrestling was, they thought something was up, but they weren't really sure. And there were like matches on the card where they would go, oh, that's not real. That's not believable. That's, you know, just, but there was maybe one, two, or maybe three matches on the card mm-hmm. where they believed, mm-hmm. where there was no doubt those two boys did not like each other, mm-hmm. that it was real and you were not going to convince them that it wasn't. That was the magic of it, because mm-hmm. not everything was believable, mm-hmm. but once in a while you got them. And once in a while you were able to capture that magic and that dance. And they believed from the time you left the dressing room, the time you went back, and even in your life 24/7, they believed that was your character.
Yeah.
Now, when Eddie Mansfield came out and smartened everybody up, and then we had the dirt sheets come out, and then we had especially the internet. Yeah. I think everybody got smart. Yeah. And whether they liked it or not, it was, we pretty much had told how Houdini got out of the straitjacket. There was no reason to go to the magic show anymore, because once you know that everything is a work and everything is predetermined and it's a dance, then they're really it's hard to convince them otherwise, because they know. And especially like with the valets and things like that, mm-hmm. it's everybody knows, so there's no like cheating, there's no fire in the face, there's no everybody it's not like going to the magician and you know everything they're gonna do. There's no fun. So unfortunately, it's not going to be the same. And I feel really bad for the entertainers today, because it's not what it was. It's mm-hmm. totally different. They've got social media they've got to deal with, which has got to be horrible. And then everybody knows what you're doing. So it does kind of become a gymnastics routine, because everybody knows. So why, you're not going to make them believe. You can't like grab the arm anymore and make people believe, because they're just, is you can, but I don't think anybody's going to put the work into it to make it believe. Now, my daughter at the gathering, it was really cool bringing this up. It was fun. The promoter wanted to know what we were wanting to do. And so I asked my daughter, I was like, do you want to be heel or do you want to be baby face? And she was like, Mom, I want to be a heel.
Yeah.
And this is Charlotte for us. So I was like, okay, let's go. So it was so much fun, like building up with Vernie and her girl and Chalance, and they had just an awesome match. But I'm so proud of my daughter. Oh my gosh, she was a heel personified. I mean, from the time that she went through the curtain till the time she went back, oh my gosh, it was so good. It was just, and she had a couple of those younger boys, like probably 12, 13, maybe. They hated her. You cheated. So she made me leave for a little bit. It was good. I'm kudos to her. She was amazing.
She got those traits from her mother.
Oh, I think it's her grandmother. Like my mom. Oh yes, because I'm not that way at all. But my mom. Oh yes.
Well, you're not that way in real life, but when you were in NWA, I believed. You know, I've interviewed Nikita Koloff, and I thought he was really Russian when I was a kid. Yeah. I thought Tully Blanchard was the biggest jerk in the world. Arn Anderson, Ric Flair. I just couldn't stand when you were with him. I believed it because you made it so real. And that's what to me is missing now. It's not, how did Mac Davis said it when I interviewed him about a week and a half ago. He said, it's more of an exhibition now. The art
of it is what's missing. And I believe, you know, at AEW, they're to me a little bit, they're better. And I think like Chris Jericho, I think he is fantastic. I think he combines that old school and new with today. And I think, I don't know if you watched that or not.
I watch whenever I can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like whenever I can sit down and watch something, then mm-hmm. it's whatever's on is on. I don't really make an effort, although I probably should, but I see a lot of it. And then people comment on stuff. So when something's really good, I'll try and search it out.
Yeah. Let's talk about the gathering that you were just at. How was that? I mean, I wanted to go so bad, but unfortunately I wasn't able to go because I saw a lot of the people that were going to be there. Then I would have loved to see like the Demolition, yourself, Tony Atlas, Ken Resnick. There was a bunch of people there, the Fabulous Ones. How was that like? Was that like a reunion for you almost of the who's who from your day?
It was really good because this was like the first really big show after COVID.
Yeah.
So, and without masks and the whole thing for me. I had seen where there was a couple of fan fests where they put up plexiglass and the guys had masks and mm-hmm. the whole thing. And this was completely open.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of weeks now, so I haven't heard of any like big super spreader. In fact, I haven't heard of anybody getting sick from it.
Well, that's good.
Tony D'Amato, the Marty Party, excellent promoter, excellent guy. He and his family, just super, super people went above and beyond to cater to the fans and help everybody just have a really good time, made the wrestlers really accessible. Had a lot of stuff to do from like a barbecue to a dinner, you know, where they had, I guess George South got an award. There was like four, Dan Lane and Steve Kern, I think, got in. There was a bunch of them but they had a really nice banquet Friday night.
Yeah.
They had autographs set up for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They had the VIP pass where they had all the big stars up on the stage where everybody could get their stuff signed.
Yeah.
And then they had the matches Saturday night, and then just everything kind of following through on Sunday. Just I'm glad that it worked out for him because last year after canceling because of COVID and then with Kevin canceling this year because he was afraid he would get caught over in the States and didn't want to get caught and not be able to get back to Hawaii. They came back after really devastating cancellations and just gave the people a really good show. And what's really cool about it, out of everything that I've read, not one person has said anything bad about them. They've just had the best reviews. Everything was really, really good. I'm glad for them because really good family, really good. And glad because it worked out for everybody. Everybody had a good time.
That's great. Yeah, I really wanted to go. I'm going to plan to go next year in August, I believe it is, August 4th through the 7th.
It's like the first week of August next
year. I'm going to try to go to that next year for sure.
I highly recommend it. It's reasonable. If you want to spend a lot of money, you can spend a lot of money. If you want to be more frugal and more budget and just kind of like walk around and see stuff and just minimalist, you can do that too. So it's no matter what your budget is, I'm sure they'll have something that'll work out for you.
Now, I like the fact that some of those, you pay a certain fee to be there, but then you got to, and I get it. You got to make money. Some people charge more when you want their autograph. I want to understand this one. You got it all. Is that right?
Well, with this, they had like an open exhibit area.
Okay.
Where you could walk around and see everyone. And then everybody's got like their merch out, whether it's like the Slam Buddies or posters or t-shirts. And then some of us had some of old memorabilia, you know, that was set out.
Right.
And then you've got the VIP, which is a little more expensive.
Right.
You know, there are more people that you don't see at all the shows.
Right.
Plus, he also had a professional photographer set up where it depended on like the individual star, like how much they charge.
Okay.
So they had photo ops like with Missy, mm-hmm. Journey and myself with like mm-hmm. the Gucci bag. We did several of those. Really pretty background on it. And then yeah. some with like my daughter and myself.
Yeah.
But then you paid a separate price for that. What was really cool was they would print off the picture and then you could go have the wrestling wrestling star sign whatever they had their picture taken.
Oh, okay.
So, that was really cool. So it was okay. really personalized that way too.
That's
and
great.
It was really, really nice yeah. paper, nice production, very, very high quality.
Good That's stuff. Great. That's good. I'm so glad that worked out because, like I said, I plan on going next year. So
it worked out. I was not feeling well. It was yeah. everything I could do to get there Saturday, mm-hmm. but I wasn't going to let my daughter down. And I think it worked out really well for her.
I'm glad. I'm happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. All right, so one last question, and what are you, other projects? Are you working on anything right now? Is there anything coming up that you're going to be at? Or
right now, we've got WrestleCade, which is the weekend of Thanksgiving. It's okay. in Winston-Salem. Tracy Myers does an amazing job. This is, oh my gosh, maybe six or seven of them that he's had at least. I've been... Okay. to all of them except for one, I think.
Okay.
And it's also an excellent show. Tracy goes above and beyond with his crew mm-hmm. To make fans like really, really super happy. And this one's yeah. in Winston-Salem
okay.
at the Bentonville Civic Center. And this is like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Also really super. My daughter just made a big announcement. She's going to be there.
Okay.
I think I was one of the first people that were announced Sting's supposed to be there. They will have over, I would bet that they've got over 100 guys signed for that event before awesome. It's over.
So your daughter, she wrestles. Is she wrestling under a certain organization or is she just independent where she goes from promotion to promotion or how is that working for her?
Well, right now she's independent. She wrestles as Samantha Starr. She's local with me. She lives up in Lenore, so she can travel all over the East Coast.
Okay.
Really, I don't want to say she's career minded, but my daughter really likes making money, whether it's a job or wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's whenever she first started wrestling, she was working for Sonic full time. Mm-hmm. She was going to school full time and wow. wrestling every weekend.
Wow.
For the time that she was going to college. And I was just so impressed by how well she kept everything together because working for Sonic, she was part of the management team. Mm-hmm. So you're got a lot of responsibility with that. Plus she was skating and then being, you know, in charge of all these people and winning yeah. awards. She won like two really good awards while she was working for them those 2 years. And then now she's working at a different job. And I don't want to say that wrestling's second, but you know, you have priorities.
Yeah.
Wrestling every weekend and having like really good gear and driving 300 and 400 miles one way to a show and then working the rest of the week, I think says a lot for someone
yeah.
that is really goal oriented. I mean, yes, you can be part of a promotion and work 2 or 3 days a week and the whole thing, but I think it says a lot more about you if you've got the 40 to 50 hour yeah. a week job, plus you're wrestling on top of that. That's yeah. just, that's amazing to me. And I'm so impressed by her.
You instill good work ethic in her, sounds like.
It is. And then, you know, she's got the 401k and she's saving money and,
well,
yeah, I'm real impressed. I'm real impressed. Both my girls are just,
yeah.
I'm so blessed. Yeah. So,
well, I want to thank you for coming on today, ladies and gentlemen. The Perfect 10, Baby Doll, Nicola Roberts. Thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. If fans want to get a hold of you, is there any way, social media or?
Yes, my husband hates it, but yes, I love social media. I have Facebook. If you'll just Google my name, which is NICKLA, it'll bring everything up. I've got like a Facebook that I'm active on. I've got okay. Twitter that I'm active on that. And then I've got TikTok now. I don't have any TikTok. I just watch videos on TikTok. Yeah. It's just crazy. I'm addictive.
Well, again, thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you with your, and folks, we were talking earlier, she likes to can and garden. And so good luck with all that. And again, the perfect 10 baby doll, Nicola Roberts. Thank you for coming on today. And folks, join us next time for our next podcast. Thank you.
Bill Apter has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, talking here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill Apter's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my own.
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, Apter's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well,
I'll
tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found the true world champion. I finally found...
Wonder, what's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think... I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion.
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill Apter, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it a
did
loss.
Did Heenan have anything to do with
this? Well, yes, but the whole thing is this, that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the World Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. Head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.